We are on week 6 of our series, This is God, and this is our final week in the series as we talk about who God is and who God the Father is. So next week, we're going to be talking about who Jesus is. This is Jesus, talking about the person of Jesus, and we'll wrap up the last 6 weeks of our fall semester talking about that. So tonight, we are talking about God as the caretaker. God as the caretaker. And I know some of you, you're thinking, man, a caretaker, like maybe you've been a caretaker for somebody who is sick or elderly. Maybe you think about a caretaker at like a graveyard or a place like that, somebody's house who takes care of it. That's not what we're talking about tonight, okay? We're talking about God taking care of us, taking care of his creation and the world. This is part of who God the Father is, part of who what he does is he takes care of creation. And so here's what I want you to catch tonight. What I want you to know is that in his providence, God protects, he permits, and he guides all of creation with immense care and provision. God the Father takes his role caring for his creation very seriously. Very, very seriously. And we are included in his creation, right? And he cares for us. He provides for us. He protects us. He guides us in everything he does. But there's some specific things that I want us to talk to about God being our caretaker and providing for us that is important for us to understand as we talk about who God is. So just to summarize real quick the last 6 weeks, if you've missed a week, or if you've just forgotten because, you know, life happens and we all forget things sometimes. We've talked about who God is. We've talked about the name of God, Yahweh, and how it describes who this God is, the God that we worship. We've talked about the nature of God, attributes of God that are vital to his existence, that he can't be God without his nature and these specific attributes. We've talked about the character of God and how we're made in his image and we're made to share that character with other people. We've talked about God as this triune God, right? 3-in-1, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how God the Father specifically works in his creation, and he sets plans into motion and all of those things. Last week, what did we talk about last week? See, I forgot what we talked about last week. We talked about something. Any of you youth remember what we talked about last week? I'm going to put you on the spot too. Trenton, do you remember? Yes, we did talk about the new heaven and the new earth. That is correct. Yes, we talked about God being the creator of everything, past, present, and future, like Trenton is talking about. And tonight we're talking about God as the caretaker, taking care of this creation. And so like I said, it's his providence. In his providence, he protects, permits, and guides all of creation with immense care and provision. What does that mean? What does providence mean? Maybe you've never heard that terminology before. Well, let's understand what God's providence is. Providence is this. It is the protective care and provision given directly from God. Okay? It's his care and provision given directly from God. What that means when we talk about the providence of God, we're talking about God the Father working specifically in his creation to care and to provide for them. We're not talking about God using people to bring compassion and love, even though God certainly does that. We're not talking about, the church and how the church is supposed to love and care for people. We're talking about God the Father specifically reaching out, caring, and protecting us. It is given directly from him. See, we believe that God still engages in the operation of his creation today. You guys believe that? That God still works in this world today. He protects us, his creation. Yes, he permits certain evil and natural disasters to occur, but ultimately, he guides all things towards his ultimate good. He cares for each and every one of us. This is what Jesus talks about when he says, if God cares about the birds and the sparrows, won't he certainly care for you as well? And so when we talk about God's providence, his care for the world, There's two extremes that we have to be very careful with when we talk about the providence of God. And I think most of the time, especially in theology, most of the time, if you see two extremes, God is probably somewhere in the middle, right? It's easy for us to take certain scripture and things out of context and go to a huge extreme or not. And the providence of God is no different. So one of the extremes that we have to be careful with, that we don't fall into the trap of, is the trap of deism. The trap of deism. I can get this. Of course, there's an error. It's supposed to be up on the screen. But the trap of deism. What is deism? Well, deism is what the majority of our founding fathers believed, believe it or not. You may have a different opinion than I do, but I sometimes have an issue when people talk about the founding fathers, espousing evangelical Christian belief because they didn't, right? We are evangelical Christians, which we can talk about what that means in a whole another topic. But most of the founding fathers were this extreme called a deist. What is a deist? Well, a deism, like I said, it's the majority of the founding fathers believes, and it really took root in the early formings of the Quakers. And deism believes that God is the creator of the world, but he has left that creation to work and operate on its own. That he kind of set it and forget it. You can look at it kind of as a watchmaker, right? A watchmaker creates a watch. He puts all the gears and he puts the times and he sets it into motion and he makes the clock work. But then the watchmaker kind of backs up and he lets the watch count time and do what it was created to do. That's what a deist believes, that God created the world, but he doesn't operate in that world today. He kind of just sets it and forgets it. And as we see in scripture that God still operates in his creation today, right? Acts 17:28 says that in him we live, move, and have our being. Okay? We live, move, and have our being in God. Well, that means that if we are in God and we live and we move and we have our being, then God is an integral part of how we live, move, and have our being. Right? So we can't be separated from God. He still works in his creation today. We also have to be careful, though, that we don't go to the other extreme. So we have deism, where God just kind of sets back and he lets everything move and do its thing naturally and in order. And then we have what we call determinism. And determinism is the complete opposite. Calvinism has similar views of determinism when it comes to understanding God's sovereignty, but determinism goes to the extreme where it says this, that we don't have any human responsibility or any free will or freedom because God has already predetermined and predestined everything that will ever happen in our life. Right, so we don't need to have any responsibility over our actions or the things that we do because God has set it all into motion. Everything that we do, he has worked to create. And that has its own issues because if God has predetermined everything, well, what does that mean about has he preconditioned certain people to go to hell and certain people not to? There's just a whole can of worms that determinism opens that doesn't go hand in hand with who God is. So when we talk about God protecting and caring for the world and how he interacts with all of creation, we have to take these two extremes and kind of come to the middle. And that's where I think God really operates, right? He doesn't just set it and forget creation, so to speak. He doesn't predetermine every situation from world wars down to stubbing your toe and what word comes out of your mouth when you stub your toe. God doesn't set all of that into motion. In order to properly understand his providence, we have to understand three different aspects of how God cares for the world. And the first one is this. Let's see if this works again. Here we go. God protects all of creation. This is part of his providence. This is how he cares for his creation, is that he actively protects all of his creation. See, God protects all creation and creatures in an ordered existence through time and space. An ordered existence through time and space. We've talked a lot about how God has created matter, he's created time, he's created space. And part of why he's done that is to protect us, his creation. Right? God has established time and space to bring order to the world so we can experience his protection. Think about this. Think about what it would be like if you had to experience all of the pain that you've ever had in your life or ever will be all at one time. Imagine how excruciating that would be, the amount of pain. Think about all of the sin and the things that you have done wrong and all of that happening at the exact same time. You see, part of God's protection is he has established us in a world of time and space that goes in order. So we experience things in an orderly fashion. He protects us in his own creation by making sure that we don't experience hurt and pain and all of the things that come with living this life all at the same time. It must play out through different events and situations throughout a length of time. We don't experience pain, sadness, difficulty, or sin because he's created that order. We see that God preserves what he creates. Not only does he protect us through this ordered creation, but he preserves what he creates. You see, if God just set the world into motion and he was hands off, eventually that creation would stop, right? Just like a watch, the gears would get gummed up if you don't maintain it, the battery would run dry, all of these types of things. But God preserves his creation. God is protecting us by working in this world to make sure things that would catastrophically hurt his creation don't actually happen. We see in Hebrews 1:3, it says this, that God sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. He sustains it. What does it mean when you sustain something? It's a continual thing, right? He doesn't just set it and forget it, but he protects us by sustaining all of creation. Colossians 1:17 says this, that he existed before anything else, and he holds all of creation together. So God is still active in this world. He cares for us, his creation, by protecting us in an ordered world of time and space and preserving the world that we live in. That should bring us tremendous comfort. Because we don't have to worry, even though we should be good stewards of the world, we don't have to worry if greenhouse gases and all of these other things are going to cause the world to overheat and all of us die. Because God is actively working in his creation, protecting us from those things happening. Right? We don't have to worry about an asteroid obliterating the world or even worry about an apocalypse that's going to come because God protects all of his creation. He is actively working to protect us. He still works in his providence by protecting his creation. And even though God cares for us by protecting us, there are still things that are bad and evil that happen in the world, right? So it's like, well, if God is going to protect us, why doesn't he protect us from all things? Well, he protects us from destroying ourselves, but God also permits certain acts and situations to happen in this world because he's given us free will and all of those things that we've talked about previously. You see, because of God's providence and his sovereignty, God cooperates with disasters and natural causes to employ his goodness through these situations. So he keeps the really, really bad stuff from happening where we basically would kill ourselves or hurt ourselves spiritually or physically, all of these types of things, but he still permits all of these other acts and situations to happen to where we can determine our own decisions. This doesn't mean that God always causes these events to happen or that the situation in and of itself is a good situation, right? We can all look at the hurricane that hit Florida. We would all say that's not a good situation, right? God didn't create that situation, right? Natural disasters and creation itself caused that to happen, but God permitted it to happen. And he did it because it brings about his goodness. Now, this is difficult for us to grasp sometimes because we look at evil and things in the world and we're like, how on earth is this going to bring God goodness, right? How is a hurricane going to bring God goodness? How is a civil war in Syria or some other place going to bring God goodness? But we see in Scripture that God uses these situations for his good. You look at the story of the flood, right? Noah and the flood. God used a natural disaster, a flood, to redeem mankind back to himself. You can look at the 10 plagues that came on Egypt, right? Terrible disasters. awful things, plagues that killed people, but it freed God's people from the grasp of Egypt. God even used a famine in Egypt to bring reconciliation between Joseph and his family, which eventually led to Israel becoming a nation and Jesus coming to this earth for our salvation. You see, God permitted these different scenarios to play out, knowing that he can use them to bring about his good in the world. So we know that in his providence, God protects us from the extremes, but he allows and permits these certain acts and situations to happen, even the bad and the evil things, because it brings about his good. And like I said, sometimes we struggle with this concept. I know I do from time to time. As we look at a situation, we can't see the good that comes from it, right? We don't see the good of World War II and what happened there, or even in our own lives. You can look back on your own life and you can say, man, I don't see the good that came from my divorce or from a miscarriage or the loss of a job or a friendship or a fire that destroyed your home. But here's what you have to understand about God's providence, that not only does he permit certain things, but God guides all events and circumstances. God guides all events and circumstances. What does this mean? God doesn't create these evil and these bad circumstances to happen, but he uses them for good. If God permits a situation to occur, you can guarantee that he's guiding that event towards his ultimate good. So you can look at a hurricane in Florida, and we can see the devastation. We can see the bad things that it causes, people losing everything they have, people even losing their lives, being misplaced, all of this kind of stuff. But we can also know that God is guiding and working that situation for his ultimate good. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. But you see, just because God permits something to happen does not mean that God caused it to happen. Like I said, that's a misnomer in our world today. It also doesn't mean that God is absent in that situation either, because he's working it for his ultimate good. Now, what do I mean when I say God is working things for his ultimate good? Because like I said earlier, we can all look at things in our life and we can say, how on the world is that going to bring goodness in my life? How is God going to work this out? We also have to understand with God being our caretaker is that his version of good and our version of good might be different. And this is a difficult thing for us to grasp sometimes, that our version of good and his version of good might be different. That good may not be what you think it is. How is God going to work my miscarriage out for his good, or the loss of a spouse or a child? How is God going to work out even worse things like sexual abuse or trauma and all of these other things that happened? Well, here's what Ephesians chapter 1 says about God's ultimate good, that God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan, that at the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. See, sometimes when we talk about our own good, we talk about, well, it would be really good if this never happened to me. Or this would be really good if I go through a divorce and then I find the love of my life. Or I go through this situation and then this happens, right? But God's ultimate good is completely different. God's ultimate plan of good is that at the right time, everything will come together under the authority of Christ. That is the greatest thing that could ever happen for you and I, that Jesus is in charge of it all. Because we know that Jesus is perfectly good. He is holy, he is righteous, he is just. He's all of these things that we have looked at before. And if God is good and he is in charge, goodness will reign. So we may not see how God is guiding our life in the situations that we face. We may not see the goodness yet, but one day we will. And when you face difficulty in your life, like whatever just happened, spilling your water, it will work out for God's goodness. God is using all things so that at the right time, it will be brought under the authority of Christ. We no longer will have to worry about sin, pain, struggles, and the evil pervading this world because Jesus will reign supreme. And that is good news. So, God guiding every event and situation does not mean that God imposes his will in that exact moment, right? God guiding everything, it's not this determinism that we talked about a few minutes ago, where God is guiding every decision. But he is guiding these decisions to the ultimate good of Jesus having all of the glory. So, in summary, in his providence, his immense care and provision, God protects us from all evil and destruction, keeping us from destroying ourselves and the creation that he created. He permits certain situations and events to occur, and he guides all of them to fulfill his own good plan to be united with Christ. That is what God does when he cares for his creation. So it's important for us to understand that we are not alone when we face difficulty, when we face bad things in life, when we face evil and struggles. God still works in his creation today, and he works in each one of our lives. And while God does not ordain everything that happens to us, we can be secure in the fact that he is protecting us and guiding us through it all for his ultimate good.